Hey, time for you to reach your full potential. Getting into health and fitness, this is what you're missing. Going harder, push it to the limit. Go on a journey with genetics coach, Laura Phillips. Yeah, here to take you to the next level. Been in the health and fitness industry since 07. Working with so many athletes, push it to the limit with world champions, yeah, and some Paralympians. Hey, working from Brisbane to Singapore. We train, we going hard, all out, we keep it raw. Laura Phillips, let's go.
In this week's episode of Real Talk, I speak with Shubhra Venetti, who is an astrologer, Akashic reader, and hypnotherapist. She channels the Akashic records for her clients and uses Western astrology and hypnosis to help provide her clients with guidance and insight on questions about their life, relationships, and purpose. I wanted to get her insights with regards to the common mistakes and misconceptions we make when it comes to manifesting the life of our dreams. You know, it's almost halfway through 2023. We're almost at that 6-month mark. And for me, it was a great time to reflect on what I've achieved and accomplished so far this year, what I set out to achieve when this year started, and to see if I'm on track with where I'm going. I think all too often we see people put together beautiful Pinterest vision boards and have these great ambitious goals for themselves. I can't help but wonder how helpful that truly is when it comes to moving the needle on what we're looking to achieve, and if in fact what we're working towards is in alignment with what we want in life. It's all well and good to say you want to lose 10 kilos, but are you saying that because you feel like you should want to lose 10 kilos, or because that's genuinely going to make a change to your life? If someone asks you why you've set the goals that you have set and you don't know how to answer that, to me, it's a bit of a goal flag. So a red goal flag for that matter. It really begs the question, are you just living the same day every day? Or are you really pulling your actions into alignment with where you're heading? How much change are you creating? And for what point and purpose? How can you manifest an even better quality of life for yourself? One that is going to fulfill you, leaving you with the best quality of life, health, vision, spirit, and feeling of fulfillment possible. I really, really appreciate all of her insights with regards to what we're doing wrong and how we could do better. I mean, at the end of the day, life's too short to just react to every single thing that happens around us, to be responding to every email, message, and notification on our phone. It's just too short. That's not an intentional life. So I truly appreciate her insights and wise words, which I hope will help you to recalibrate where you're at if you do notice you're a little off track. And do remember, you can change your life at any point in time. It all starts with the decision to do so. So please enjoy and be sure to connect with her using the links below. Any comments, queries, questions, or suggestions on future topics, I am open to hearing about that. So do drop your suggestions in the comment section. I'll be sure to read that. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy this episode.
How's that cold treating you?
I just feel like I sound a little bit like a Kermit the Frog.
Oh, you are a cute Kermit, that's for sure.
Thank you. I'm going to try and not breathe too much so that it doesn't cause me to, like, sneeze.
Oh, no, are you sneezy too?
Yes, sneezy and runny nose and everything, so I'm trying.
Let's see how that goes. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. But you got a room. How much time you got then?
Yes. We are good for 40 minutes if we can work with that, if that's good with you.
Let's do that. Let's do our best.
Yeah, we got this. If you can do lunges, you can do this. We got this.
Brain power is sometimes harder.
It can be, yeah, for sure. I feel you on that. Sometimes I'm like, I would just rather squat a lot of weight.
Yes. Movement is a lot easier than trying to think of words sometimes.
Yeah, physical movement sometimes easier than cog turning movement, you know, different themes for different days. Well, I would love
different parts of the brain.
Correct. I would love you to kind of introduce yourself to the listeners, for those of us who are maybe listening for the first time or who are less familiar with you and your work and what you do. How would you break that down for us? Give us the scoop.
I give you the scoops. It's okay. So first, I'm going to switch off that WhatsApp because I realize that it's still there and it's distracting. Okay. Okay, so the scoop. So my name is Shubhra Vanetti. I am an astrologer and Akashic Records reader, as well as a hypnotherapist. So I combine hypnosis as well as astrology and sometimes psychic sort of tuning into various realms to give spiritual guidance to my clients. But we also do sessions where we go into root cause, or we try to rewrite certain expired beliefs with new belief systems that they want to inculcate. So that's kind of my portfolio. So I do group hypnosis, I do individual hypnosis treatments, but I also do spiritual guidance sessions with people's masters and guides on the other realm, all that woo-woo, and combined Western astrology is part of that. So I'm all into the other realms.
I love the terminology, which I don't think I've heard before, is expired beliefs. And that kind of nicely ties into what we're discussing today, which is the whole manifestation, laws of attraction, and that element, because I feel a lot of people have misconceptions when it comes to how we manifest and how the universe works when it comes to laws of attraction. I've got a few side notes which I shared with you in terms of what I've seen and witnessed. What is it that comes up to you when you think about people's approach and maybe what is not working for them? Because it's nice to have a pretty like vision board, but does that actually move the needle on anything?
It comes up so often in all the readings in a way that if a person is not 100% feeling that image or that affirmation or that dream that they want, they're not convinced by it, then it's less likely to come into their field of perception. So I try to find some like sciencey things for us as well, because there are parts of the brain that so the mind has three functions, right? The mind does exactly what you thinks you want it to do. And its primary job is to keep us safe and alive, right? Like alive as long as possible. And so if there is something, and it cannot distinguish what is a threat to your life, like literally like life or death, or what is just a general, like, I don't like, but it'll see it as a threat to your life, essentially. So anything that you do not, like a person that you do not like, is considered like a threat to your survival. So I must move you away from this. And hence any idea or concept that you want to manifest into your life, if it feels unfamiliar to you, the mind is going to try and direct you as far away from it as possible. So that's the second thing, is that the mind loves what's familiar and hates what's unfamiliar. Mm-hmm. And so if eating healthily is something that's unfamiliar as a concept, because let's say it wasn't modeled to you. I mean, and this was in my upbringing, for example, like it wasn't really modeled to me specifically, just because of the circumstances that we were raised in. My existing belief systems on food was very much like fast food, canned food, convenience food is nutritious because that's what I ate. It's not necessarily true, but my mind finds that very familiar. Hence, it would automatically gravitate towards those kind of food choices for a very long time until I had to rewrite them. So, and then the third thing is always that the mind always responds to two things, the pictures in your head and the words that you say to yourself. And so if I was trying to manifest a type of physical body, but then in my head, all I see myself is very overweight, or that, oh, I can never be as slim as that. That's going to take me for ages. Like, I don't even know where to begin. And I just have all the visual and all the self-talk to stop me from it. The mind's happily ready to keep me where I'm at and never where I want to go. Mm. So that's kind of the major pitfalls, I would say, for all people across the board, is that the mind is always trying to do what it wants you, what it thinks you want it to do. And people want to stick to the safe, the secure, and usually to belief, expired belief systems that they don't even know they have.
Mm, that is so interesting. I loved the word used, which was convinced. If you're not convinced, then how much tangible change are we going to see long term? It really plays to the old saying that seeing is believing, right? So there has to be an element of, I guess, creating space where new beliefs and new visualizations can occur. Otherwise, we remain, in a sense, married and stuck to these expired thought patterns, which, I mean, it's just so easy to do, right? If you've thought the same thing about yourself over and over again, if you've thought the same way about food, the same way about your body, the same way about fitness, then what room is there to grow into? And absolutely, we see this all the time. The brain and the body need to keep you alive. So if a gym feels like a threatening place for you to be, naturally, you're not going to gravitate towards turning up and doing a workout or going to a gym, because that just seems too frightening, too scary, too unsafe. That, I mean, why would you do anything that threatens your existence? That does not allow us to evolve and survive. So it makes complete sense.
Exactly.
I'm wondering if people are hearing this and they've written out goals for the year. We're almost halfway through the year, can you believe? And
yes, yes.
Like, what? How did that happen?
Already.
Like, bye, first half of 2023. I'm just going to start writing 2024. I think, I feel like I've lived a lot in this year.
Yes.
And where do we start in terms of connecting that vision board and connecting those goals with ourselves? If people are hearing this, they're like, yeah, you know what? Actually, I just put all these pretty things on my vision board, and maybe I just wrote out things that sounded nice. And I think that's what people do a lot, especially I see this in fitness a lot. People want to lose 10 kilos because they feel like they should want to lose 10 kilos. But when you go deeper, there's not a whole lot to substantiate that. Where do people begin in kind of joining or connecting themselves now with what they have as that vision and what they have as those ambitious goals? How do we kind of bridge that gap?
Yeah, you know, I think so. It kind of varies from person to person, but I would say like a very blanket approach is that when I tell clients if they want to do a vision board, is that they should select images that they 100% are, again, the word is convinced, really, is that they are convinced or aligned to, is sort of like the esoteric, woo-woo, spiritual, you know, world kind of word. Is like your alignment. It's very much of an alignment, because somewhere your entire body is convinced that this is doable or possible, or this is its truth. And when it has that conviction, that motivation is coming intrinsically as well, not just the extrinsic sort of external motivation of like, oh, other people, or oh, my doctor has said, or oh, my partner has said, or whatever it is that's coming from the external, or I see people and I want to be like them. But it becomes an intrinsic one as well. So there has to be obviously an intrinsic motivation, and using that to then guide you to choosing the images on the vision board is very important. It's almost like your inner self, your gut will know what is actually doable for you to a certain extent. So it's almost like you have to separate, you know, the ego, which is going, yeah, well, you can get that body and you can, but then the inner self will go, but your health matters. If you want to live a long and happy life and you want to see your manifestations come true, you need to have a body that's working for you for the long run. And that's the kind of voice that I would listen to more than this one. This one is just designed to keep you in survival, right? So it's going to put you anywhere and everywhere where it's feeling familiar and safe. Whereas the inner side of you will know what is truly right for you. And it will be also kinder in the sense it will never betray you. It's never going to say, please drop, you know, to a size double zero, because that's what beauty is defined as. Because it won't betray you like that to say that you are not beautiful the way you are. It's going to say like, you know, find a body or find an image that reminds you of a healthy body. So it doesn't have to be a physically of a person's body and your face stuck on it. That could, if that works for you, great. But if it is also just the activities, because that is what's signaling to your brain. So if you're just putting, you know, a person lifting weights, a person doing a squat, a person eating healthy foods or healthy foods that are sitting there, your brain is starting information tagging that way. It's called value tagging, meaning like, oh, these are things that you're valuing. I'm now going to take that in. So if the more that you're looking at it, it's symbolically representing a healthy and fit lifestyle, right? So the lifting the weights gets more familiar, going like a gym picture may get more familiar. And so the more you look at it, then the brain starts to identify that, oh, these are important things to you. So therefore, I will start looking for this in your reality or start directing this in your reality for you. So if those images are much more there, along with your inner side, it's coming from the inner you, then you're more likely to have things manifest in you. And of course, you know, once you get the practice of it and you want to put, I don't know, like meeting Beyonce in the middle, then yeah, probably, you know, maybe that might happen. She might pass by on a plane. I don't know. But it cannot be so far-fetched that your brain is almost going, yeah, that's not never going to happen. Like, then for sure, you've already set yourself up for it for failure. So it's no longer a vision board. It just becomes a board reminding you of what's not possible or what your brain does not feel comfortable with. So hence, that's why I say it depends on client to client. Some clients require smaller actionable steps as their vision board, you know? So maybe it's just the healthy foods to remind them, the gym weights to just feel comfortable of that, just the images of seeing weights around, seeing the machines, because those are genuine things that can give anxiety to some people, right? As you said, we're walking to a gym can be, so even if it's a picture of just people working out in a gym, and then they look at it and they can do a visualization of walking into a gym, and just making that a familiar sort of like movie in their head as they see those images, then the brain starts to retrain and create a new neural pathway that sits on top of the old pathway going, oh my God, anxiety of some energy, because it's just not familiar with it, right? So then we try to make it familiar because of the brain, as you know, and we both know, is that the brain does not distinguish between a dream or reality. When you're dreaming, you literally think you're in the dream and it is your reality, which is why people wake up like breathless, or they almost take a few minutes before they can resettle. And it works stronger for kids because their analytical, logical side of the brain hasn't fully developed. So they are constantly in this sort of in-between state of dream and reality. Hence why they can believe in Santa Claus, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, if we utilize that side of our brain, we can actually make the things that we want to be familiar, then we have more chances of achieving our goals. And in the vision board as well, you want to prioritize the more important things in the center of the board and on the top, because we naturally always go from top down. And then, the secondary sort of things are more on the bottom. And this actually comes from Dr. Tara Swarth, as well as other practitioners. But she mentions a lot about this in her book as well, The Source. And I thought that was very helpful for the viewers to know from a scientific point of view what your brain is trying to do when it's trying to, you know, look at a board. It's trying to make those things familiar. So that's why we want to put images that are, you know, more convincing and much more, it doesn't feel like you're climbing Everest all of a sudden, you know, when you're just used to going over, I don't know, Bukit Merah or something.
All those big mountains in Singapore to climb.
I know. Those malls, I don't know, like climbing to the sixth floor on escalators, so tall.
Oh, yeah. Tell you. But there's so many great points you raised just now. And I guess there's a balance between dreaming and having a vision and dreaming without restriction, and also recognizing where you are now and using the vision board to pave that path step by step by choosing visions that are not necessarily the quote unquote end goal, but are just a little less familiar than what you're currently used to. So if your weekly or daily exercise is going for a walk outdoors, but that's as structured as it gets, as you mentioned, placing a photo of people maybe lifting weights on the vision board might be just a notch or a small shift from what that person is used to, but it's not a picture of someone on an Olympic podium, which would feel very unfamiliar and probably out of alignment, because perhaps this person is not working towards the Olympics if their daily exercise is walking outdoors, unless they're training to be a walker, because I think walking is an Olympic category.
Sport.
Yeah. So just making that assumption is that is perhaps a little too far in one direction to choose the Olympic athlete on the podium versus where that person is now and what they're working towards now. And so being very deliberate in choosing images that are slightly different to where you're at, but not threatening or intimidating, because then again, the brain is always going to call bullshit. And right, so this is where people have major pitfalls, especially in fitness, if we're using that analogy, where people want to lose 10 kilos, if they've tried a ton of diets before, if they've lost 10 kilos and put on 12, their brain has a ton of evidence to suggest that it's not going to work out, because the brain will remember on January 2nd when you went keto and then lasted a week. Yeah. And then January 1st, the year before, where you tried paleo and that lasted a month. Yeah. And then 6 months before that, where you gave up alcohol for 3 months and then you put on a ton of weight after that. So the brain is always looking for evidence. And that's why it's so important, just based on what you're saying, that we are convinced we can do and achieve what we see on something such as a vision board, because then we're creating that space where we can start to align our actions with what is on the board. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. And I think the other small little point that I'll come from a hypnotherapy sort of point of angle is that, and because obviously the audience is much more fitness oriented, is that a lot of times, because the brain wants to keep you safe, and the brain wants to do exactly what it, you know, what is familiar for you and et cetera. If being slim, or not forget slim, if losing weight is such an unfamiliar concept, first of all, the brain is already going to feel like this is, no matter how much you work out, I'm going to make sure you never go and lose weight. So if there's a motivation which is preventing you also from becoming fit. Now, I will give a very specific example, and this might also resonate with quite a few people because it's a very common example. If the person has gone through some form of trauma in their early years, and this is usually somewhere between the ages of, usually below 7, okay, unusual, but it can be also below 12 sometimes, then the body goes into survival mode going, if I am not noticeable, that I am least likely to be a victim of the trauma, meaning I'm not going to be found again or noticeable for the trauma to find me. So the person to either pick on me or the person to do or commit the action that is going to cause me trauma. And hence a lot of people, and I know for this, I mean, this is me sharing now very openly that I went through something as a child, and hence why it became easier to become the sort of like adding up the weight to almost hide myself so that I don't stand out. And therefore, because somewhere there have been beliefs, and now we go into beliefs, is that if you are noticeable, so you're pretty and you are slim or whatever, you're fit, you get unwanted attention from men. And if you get unwanted attention from men, and especially in my culture, that means a man can do something sexually towards you that is unwanted. Therefore, that became the belief system of, I don't want any of that. And hence, I must have the weight and this to all hide myself so that I don't stand out, so that I do not get unintended approaches where my life or all of that is then compromised. And that, unfortunately, is a huge belief that might be in many, many people's mind of, I need to protect myself, so therefore I gain, or I have all of these things to protect. So that is on the physical side. It could be also sometimes from the health side, so whether people injure themselves or whether they surround themselves in their house with certain things, they hoard, it's almost to put people away. small things like that come up as well. So belief systems are like, in one book they describe it like ghosts. Another one says it's like skeletons in the closet. We don't necessarily know what the skeletons in our closet are that's actually causing the materialization of our reality. And so that's one very important aspect whenever we do affirmations, vision boards, manifestations, is to look at what are the underlying beliefs that are our skeletons or our expired beliefs or our ghosts. You know, what are the beliefs that are holding us back? Is it that I can't attract the money because I'm scared of having that much money? Why? Because I might lose it all. Because someone has told me once that don't make so much money so that you don't lose it all. Then you'll feel more comfortable if you just make just enough. Or only rich people are greedy and horrible people. Whatever it might be, you know, it will be, there will be something. It could be coming from a family member. It could have come from society. It could have come from a teacher. It could have come from your friends, parents, whatever it was growing up. Those beliefs formed our, you know, perception and our brain, because those beliefs sit in our subconscious. Our brain is literally using that as the operating software to create the reality, because it's what trying to keep you surviving as long as possible.
Mm.
And many of them are not necessarily useful anymore, right?
Mm.
Like, not every rich person is going to be a greedy monster and, you know, cruel. It's not necessarily true. Being, as a female, we've been taught being rich is not good sometimes because it makes the partner look bad in some cultures. It's sometimes ridiculous things like this. Like, you must massage your partner's ego, so therefore, do not ever try to supersede whatever it might be, you know? So...
And that's
kind of, it is these kind of things. Yeah, go on. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, I guess this is where people probably end up with a lot of frustrations and feeling stuck and having what we could maybe phrase as blockages, where there's always sort of ceiling where they might only ever get to 3 years in a relationship. And after 3 years, something happens, always ends at 3 years, or people only ever make a certain income. And or they only ever save so much money, and then what happens? Where else can it turn up? People are always working a certain number of hours because maybe growing up they saw that their parents had to work two jobs to put food on the table, so they've equated working with survival. So work becomes a greater priority.
Yes.
For example, relationships, socializing, taking care of your mental health, your physical health. You know, people who are always like, I don't have time to exercise. Okay, well, let's like unpack that a little further. Why do you never have time to exercise? I mean, especially given you're in a position to make that a priority, you have all the necessary means. It's not like you're in a country where there's nowhere to exercise and there's no fitness professionals. So actually what that's saying to me on a deeper level is actually that's just not the priority. So why don't we look at why it's not their priority in the first place? What is the programming behind that? So I can definitely see how that comes up in different ways for different people, and the need to go deeper in order to manifest what you want. I guess that's really a big missing piece. If people think, well, if I just put all these pretty pictures together or write these, you know, gigantic goals, then it'll come to fruition. And then when it doesn't, it's like, oh, the universe hates me. The universe is working against
me.
And such, we become the victim of the universe. When in fact we're out of alignment. So when you say alignment, maybe another word
you
might connect more or connect differently to is congruence. It's just not congruent.
Yeah.
Like, are your actions congruent? Are your belief systems congruent to what you're visualizing? How else do you see this come up for people that you work with? Are there any other examples that the audience might be able to, you know, click with?
One thing I try, I've done it before with some people in terms of like, oh, I want to manifest a salary of X amount, let's say 50,000. Okay. Like, we'll just throw in, I want to have a salary of 50,000 a month. Great. Sounds amazing. Okay. Now imagine someone giving you that 50,000. There will be a part now, and they're like, okay, someone's giving me 50,000. Okay, somewhere there might be a little bit of like, but there will be another part of the body that's going, that feels so unfamiliar to me right now. I'm almost rejecting it. And I think for a lot of people, if they try to imagine it with their jobs, that might be easier, because it's, you know, let's say if they're starting at 10 and they're trying to go to 50, that feels like a massive jump. If I say, okay, imagine 10, great, all right. Imagine 11, sure, imagine 12. And if they start to get shaky, you already know where your alignment is. It's not at 50,000. Mm. So conceptually, it might make sense, but your body, which is usually, I love how Joe Dispenza says it, your body is like your past emotions, you know, record. So your body has a natural response system to keep you safe, right? So if it sees fire and wants to run away, it has already pre-programmed beliefs already stored in the body. And hence, whatever does not feel familiar to your mind, your body has an automatic reaction to move you away from it. Mm. And so if you have something on the board, or if you have a number, let's say if it's money again, and it's trying to say, okay, you're going to try and manifest 50,000. Your body's going to, if you in tune with your body, your body will already tell you whether you are feeling it, and it's going to be coming into your realm or not. And that's a good trick I tell my clients, is that when they're looking at their board, there's a, okay, I don't know if I can sit and do it. Maybe a good way would be to stand and do it, really. Mm-hmm. So I will just tilt, visual demonstration now. can't even see me, but your body, your energetic field will always move forward or backward if it's moving towards something, meaning it's convinced vibrationally and wants to go and do it, or it is possible, it'll move towards it, and it'll fall back if it doesn't feel in alignment to it. So if I say, I can make $100,000, I'm already falling back because I don't necessarily believe I can make $100,000. Why? Because of XYZ, already my body's already going, brain's going, no, 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 you've got this, you've got kids, you've got all this, you have no time, la, 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 la. So already, if it's out of alignment for me to manifest something like that, it's going to be harder, right? But if, I don't know, if I say I want to maybe manifest, you know, maybe $5,000 next month. Okay, I'm falling forward. So I feel a little bit more comfortable with five. And I could probably go, can I manifest $6,000 next month? No. Okay. So automatically, my gauge is 5K, not really 6K, for example. So even in terms of salary, for example, for people, they can start using this technique just to see if they can fall forward or fall back and which salary range they actually feel most aligned with. And so then they can manifest that. But you can do this with anything. You can do it with your goal of your weight or your you know, whether you can buy this house or this car or things like that. I even use it for intolerances. So if people are intolerant to foods, your body will automatically fall backwards. If it can. So it's like, can I eat bread? It will automatically fall backwards if it's gluten intolerant, for example.
Interesting.
And if it, so it's another one is like people can stick their hand out and someone has to push the weight down. If it's a yes, your hand can hold very strong, meaning like if your body's in alignment with something, it will hold the strength. But if your body's not in alignment with something, the other person will be able to push down and you cannot resist. Mm-hmm. So your automatic energy field will already tell you where your alignment is. And that's where maybe sometimes you want to start building your alignment slowly. So let's say it's 10 kilos is your goal, but maybe you say, okay, in this year, I aim for maybe at least 3 to 5. Then the body may feel a little bit more comfortable towards that alignment. And it can probably give you a gauge where it feels most convinced towards or in congruence towards moving to, you know, to lose. And so I would use that technique sometimes with my clients as well to see where their true alignments are. Because sometimes all of us, I'm like this too. I want something so badly, but I can feel myself resisting. Mm. And that's where I think affirmations really help. Mm. Affirmations and also doing, when you do your vision board, you want to do it at the hypnopompic and hypnagogic state, which is where you're waking up in the morning and you're falling asleep at night, because the brainwave states in your brain are moving from conscious to sort of like subconscious, sort of it's oscillating somewhere between there. So it's between dream and reality. Mm-hmm. And that is helping to rewrite subconsciously and value tag subconsciously when you're in those two states. Hence why even hypnosis, they recommend to do it at night when you're falling asleep, because then it goes straight into the subconscious rewiring as well.
Interesting. And I guess too, I see that when we work from a place of alignment, often we open ourselves up more to achieving what is beyond what feels like is in alignment, because then we start to build that evidence bank of us seeing ourselves do X, Y, and Z. So if we use weight as a tangible example, if someone is falling back at the thought of losing 10 kilos because it might seem really overwhelming, they might have a lot on their plate, they might have tried a lot of diets in the past, they might have yo-yo dieted their whole life, they might have even a little bit of body dysmorphia. So that might seem like it's out of alignment now, versus if we say, well, let's just go with 3 kilos. If that feels good for you, if that feels less stress, less pressure, more achievable, chances are we might even get there sooner than anticipated, because we kind of reset the set point of what quote unquote success looks like. When we give someone a greater chance to, you know, again, for lack of a better word, but succeed and follow through on achieving what they set out to, suddenly losing the 4th kilogram seems so much easier, because we've not gone, let's just go for 10, which seems stressful and beyond us. Not to say it's impossible. That's not what I'm saying. It just seems like too much of a stretch for now, right? But based on capacity, capabilities, schedule, and everything else. So I, as you're saying that, I'm like, yeah. And I feel like that would create that evidence bank of, look, I can achieve 1 kilo. I can achieve a weight loss of 2 and 3. And 3 actually didn't seem that crazy. It didn't seem that stressful or overwhelming, which I thought it would be. So losing the 4th is probably not going to be that hard either. Before you know it, we're probably getting near to 10 a lot sooner than we thought, because we've opened ourselves up to see ourselves succeed. And we've gone, look, success can look like 3 kilos. It can look like 10. It can look like 7. It can look like 15. But what feels like it's doable for you, achievable for you now, and what feels, you know, stress-free and congruent with your lifestyle. And once we start to align the two, as in your vision for yourself and where you are now, then the action follows, and the action continues to follow. Again, success breeds success. So when we have that bank of, look, I did it, and another kilo, and another kilo, and another kilo, it starts to snowball relatively easier-ish, is what I'm thinking. Because I think people 100%. Often set goals. I feel like I see this a lot. People set goals not actually to move the needle on their goals, but as a means of creating space for judgment. People set goals to prove to themselves that they can't achieve something. Like, look, I told myself, look, I knew I wouldn't lose 10 kilos. I just saw this coming. I knew something would come up. I'd have to travel for a month. I would drink more than usual. I would eat all the fast food. I would try all the treats at the candy shop. And look, here I am. I just knew this would happen. So often I feel like that's the attitude people have when they set goals, and they don't realize it. Because when you say you set a goal, it sounds really nice. It's like, it's for the betterment of you. It's for the sake of progress. It's moving the needle. But actually, when you set a goal that you know is, again, not beyond yourself, but is coming from a place of force, which creates stress because it's not in alignment, it's not congruent, then actually you're just being an asshole towards yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also, I think when people are in that sort of that space, a lot of the times they're not necessarily aware of perhaps also the surroundings that are probably reaffirming that negative belief system or belief, you know, that they have, or that they're essentially just telling themselves that they can't do it. So one thing also that we sometimes, when I dissect things for my clients, is if they can move themselves out of certain situations. So let's say it's certain friend circles or certain, I mean, you know, it's very hard to move away from certain colleagues, because if you're working with them, then you can't just be like, okay, I quit today, if you can't actually quit.
I'm but blocking Barbara.
You can make... Yeah.
Barbara, she's on there sometimes, on the not list.
Yeah, you might have to deliberately go. If these people are constantly doing this behavior, say 4 p.m. snacks, okay? Then this has to come so strongly within you. Being first, you have to notice that this is a pattern. Second, you have to want to break the pattern. And a lot of people are scared to break the pattern. Why? Ostracized, you know, kept out of team, you know, gossip, blah, I don't know, whatever, no longer miss popular. I made all of these same excuses too. So I'm speaking from my own experience, not just calling out people maybe, but if you're feeling the same, then it's almost like you had to make a choice, like, do you want to value yourself and decide that you're worth it? Or are you going to give the importance to something outside of you? And that no one can decide but you. No one can decide but the client. So making those goals is almost the first step of saying that you actually love yourself, that you want to treat yourself right, and you are actually willing to put yourself as a priority in your life. And you know what? As children, we were very much taught that we were not the priority. All of us were taught either someone else was the priority, mom and dad is busy, you know, big brother, little brother, whatever is always, you know, because at some point we were in some comparison to something, and therefore we deemed ourselves as not being enough of a priority, and therefore our self-worth, esteem, confidence kind of goes along with that. So these things have to be rewritten, and that's where like the affirmations or the gratitude journal of self-gratitude. So I'm grateful that I am, you know, smart. I'm grateful that I'm intelligent. I'm an awesome trader, or I'm an, you know, kick-ass, whatever, investment banker. I don't know, whatever it is for that person, to boost yourself, as boosting your positive vibration. And once you do that, now quantum physics is finally coming into getting machinery. And the reason we didn't know a lot of this is because we didn't have the machinery that was able to scan the brain to even see this is how the brain does a lot of things. The same doing with our physical energetic field. Our electromagnetic field has a certain frequency, so like a radio. And hence, if you think or do certain actions, you're always in a certain frequency, and you attract people, circumstances to reaffirm your frequency. Because again, your body and your mind are trying to keep you alive the longest. So whatever is familiar, it will pull into its field. Now, the moment that you decide, no, I don't want to make this familiar, it's going to change your circumstances and your environment. It will be what people call as, you know, synchronicities or coincidences. You're thinking of, you know, I finally want to lose weight, or I finally want to take care of myself. Suddenly, your profile may show up on their feed, or that someone will, you know, mention about, you know, going for this yoga thing or Pilates thing or F45, whatever training, because your brain is trying to find now, it's filtering and finding, because you now have a direction that you're looking for, and it's trying to get you the answer because it wants to do what you want it to do. Mm-hmm. And so I think everyone should really take a few, you know, to be very conscious about what they're attracting. First, being very aware what's in their reality right now is everything that they've already attracted, which is what we said. Instead of thinking that we're victims constantly to the universe, is actually thinking, you know what, 10 steps behind, this is the reality that I've actually manifested. So whatever's happening now is actually what I've already put into the field 10 steps ago. But I just wasn't aware. Now that I have the awareness, what do I want to consciously bring in? Because what you vibrate, frequency will match in frequency and come into your field. So opportunities to make your goals happen will also come. And it helps to sometimes plan it out as well. With some goals, you know, it might be, let's say it's a house, for example, it might be looking for the area that you would like the house to be in. Maybe how many bedrooms does it have? Maybe you have pictures of what the bathrooms look like, the living room has, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. What's the surroundings got? So that at least that just your brain will start to look for clues to how to make that happen. So it is happening from both an energetic point of view, but also from a scientific, biological point of view, because your brain is trying to make what your values are to happen. But if you put something there that you don't actually value, then that's just taking up unwanted space and preventing a person from manifesting what they truly want.
And again, even if you were to manifest that, chances are it won't last. You won't know what to do with it, or perhaps the people around you are going to change because you're suddenly
yes
not so much yourself because you're like, well, look at me, now I got this. So like, well, okay, but you're not you. I mean, you did that out of for a different reason. The essence of that motivation was not sincerity. Again, it was out of alignment. So it could perhaps end up even backfiring in the sense of being somewhat of a burden to manifest something that is so out of alignment and just a pretty picture that, yeah, okay, yeah, I want a Louis Vuitton handbag. Yeah, okay, but for what? Because you can. I mean, but I mean, to what degree do you go down that path? Because you can a lot of things. So how do you want to experience your life? I think it is a better question to be asking and making sure that you're connected with yourself and coming from that space of being responsible for what you manifest. And the point you make about, well, this is what you've already manifested, is so important because people don't realize how much they can adjust and shape and create when they have that heightened awareness of what it is that they're consciously working towards. But do people really have a sense of what they're consciously working towards, or are they just reacting to every single instance that happens in their life? Do you know? I think we kind of
do. Most of the time it's reactive, absolutely, yeah.
It seems to come from a very passive place of get up at the same time, get ready the same way, go to work, do the same thing, have the same conversations with the same people, go home, like same shit, different day. How many of us are tuning in and understanding, well, hang on, am I going in the direction I want to? If my life doesn't excite me, then something's off. Is it my job? Is it the people? Is it both? Is it my body? Is it my health? And making a conscious effort to kind of realign your actions with your vision. But how are you to know that if you are just reacting and being victim, it's a pretty hard place to manifest anything from. But I guess easy to kind of get on that hamster wheel of life, so to speak.
Absolutely. And one of the best ways to just start sometimes is, I know it sounds really like Oprah Winfrey now, but it is really that gratitude aspect, because once you start noticing the good things that you have manifested already, so whether it be, you know, having that great conversation with that person, or going out and having this with that person, or this is in my life, I have the ability to, you know, have this phone, have this computer, or live in this place, wherever. If you notice three things every day that happened that day that you were grateful for, and three things that you were looking forward to the next day, you start telling your brain to focus on the positive. That's like the biggest, greatest step one, right? Because then that leads to having that ability to believe that the goals and the things that you've put on your board or that you've written on your journal is going to come and happen. Because if you're going to go in with your negative mindset going, I put all these pictures, but I do not believe anything are going to happen, then there's already that misalignment there. So it's almost like you have to prime your brain to thinking it knows it has this ability, it can make it the reality, but it has to notice what it already has manifested in a positive way first. Mm-hmm. Then once it's already tuned into looking and seeking for it, it automatically has that approach to even making the things on the board a reality too. It's priming.
That's such a great point. It's kind of reiterating the fact that it is possible. It's going, hey, yes, you are able to manifest whatever you're, you know, consciously aligned with and working towards, because look at everything else that you've manifested up until this point. And it kind of serves as a nice reminder that, well, if you don't like what you've manifested, you manifested it. So you have the power to change it. That's really empowering, I feel. And if I liken it to the gym, it's like, well, your muscles only get stronger by using them. And you build on the muscle that you built last session and the session before that and the session before that and the session before that. And over time, you can look back and be like, oh my God, I started with 5 kilos and now I'm at 15. And 5 kilos used to feel like how 15 kilos feels today. And it's just rep on exercise, practice on exercise, practice. And looking at all the evidence of what you have done up until that point, it's like, look, I got to do 5 kilos, and then next week I'll probably do 6, and next week you do 6, and you're like, oh, see, like I added 1 kilo to my squats. The next week you're like, okay, well, I'll do more reps at the same weight, and the week after it might be 7, and bit by bit, you're, you know, leveling up, gradually, before you know it, you're like, oh, yeah, I could do 20, sure. I mean, it's the most I've ever done, but it's not that much of a jump from where I'm at. Of course, you're not going to go from 20 to 100 because that's super unsafe and don't try that at home. So, but yeah. it ties back to the importance of creating micro shifts. This is what I say to people a lot. It's like micro yes. after micro shift after micro shift. You don't lose the 10th kilo before you've lost the first. You don't lose 1 kilogram before you've lost 500 grams. And people seem to just think, oh, you just wake up 10 kilos lighter. I'm like, hell no, it doesn't happen like that. Don't you think we all would have figured that out?
No,
by now?
Yeah.
If that were possible, we would have worked it out by now. Okay. Humans are not that dumb. So it's just rep on rep. And I like what you say of looking back at the evidence of what you have manifested and realizing you created that reality. That was you building all of that into your world, into your life, into your surroundings. And so if that's what you can create, I mean, if you have some level of imagination, just think about what else might be possible. And you're in the driver's seat. I think there's way too many adults out there not really adulting and not really in the driver's seat of their own life. And when you have permission to dream and visualize and understand that it's a process that needs to be taken micro shift by micro shift. I mean, if you have the patience and the delayed gratification, I'm sure at some point you'll look back and see you got yourself there.
Absolutely. 100%. You know, 5 years ago, my friend lived in Corals, which is next door, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember going to his apartment going, wow, I've never been to this part of Singapore. This is really, really nice. I'd love to live here one day if I could. Mm-hmm. Cut to 5 years later, and this is the area that we're living in, you know? And it was just a passing thought, but because it wasn't very familiar in my field, I didn't know how it was going to happen. And I think the other thing is when it comes to things like that, where it might be very specific, you have to almost let that go and just trust as well with something that's really out there. Now, those are for like the big visualization. So I'm not expecting those things to happen within a day because I'm not aligned for things to happen within a day. I'm still building my manifestation muscle as well of like whatever feels familiar, but that means I have to clear out old beliefs at the same time. So I'm doing it the same, you know, I'm making new beliefs and I'm clearing out the things. I'm making and then I'm clearing. But for something like that to happen, it's being patient. It's also sustainability, right? As you said, you work rep on rep on rep on rep. You're making a more sustainable pattern for your body and your mind rather than, oh, I get the house and, oh, tomorrow I have to move out of it because I nothing else aligned to even keep it in my reality either. So everything almost has to align for all the pieces. It's not like one part of my reality is manifesting. I have this, I have the friendship, I have the kids. There's so many moving parts in a reality that is forming the reality itself. So in that way, to build sustainability, it's doing the small, like gratitudes, and it's building up that muscle as well so that we are ready for the big ones when we're ready, you know, to manifest it into our life as well.
Wow. This has been such a great conversation. And I think so timely too, given it's almost halfway through the year. I'm sure it's a nice time to reflect what we set out for our intentions at the start of the year, what we set as goals, what we, you know, wanted our life to look like by this time, by the end of this year, and to understand that there's still plenty of time and we can change it any point in time. It just comes from
any point.
That place of being intentional and going, oh, today I start to live in a slightly different way. I'm going to start making slightly different decisions when it comes to food, when it comes to the people I meet, when it comes to relationships, colleagues, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just going to be slightly different. And I think the key word is, you know, slightly. There's going to be slight discomfort with something that's slightly unfamiliar, but we can handle that. And if we create that space by creating those micro shifts, you know, bit by bit, who knows what December and start of next year could look like. It could be a very different reality. So I hope people hear this and understand they have more power than they know, and they hold tremendous power in creating their own reality, and that they feel even more inspired to go out there and create the life of their dreams, because I feel life's too short not to. So
oh my God. Yeah.
I'm
right. 100%.
For this conversation, this goes on my gratitude list for today. This conversation, especially with you having a cold, that was a good effort. We will have...
Clearly, I've manifested this cold in my reality. And now I'm just trying to figure out why and where and get really honest about why it came. You know, so it's coming to that point that I'm no longer trying to see myself as a victim. And I think that's the last thing I wanted to leave to the audience is that the free will destiny thing is that you have a free will in every single moment of the day. How you feel about a situation is a free will decision and choice. And therefore, you make a choice based on that. Always. So your reaction is a free will reaction, and your destiny is whether how you want to, you know, born and die, that's probably already kind of predestined, but how you want to get from birth to death is really up to your choices and what you want to feel along the way. That's completely your choice. So all the realities shift accordingly. That's the fun thing about my work is that people will be like, what's my future? I'll be like, well, you change your mind today, your other timelines come along as well. So then if you change your mind, even partners may choose for some people accordingly because your vibrations are different, right? How you vibe 10 years ago, very different person entered your life to how you vibe now, such a different person. And if the person grows along with you, then very high chances they can probably stay in your life as a partner, for example, or friends even for that matter. So free will, you have a free will every moment to make a good choice for yourself.
Wow, so powerfully said and shared. We will have your links in the show notes. So people who hear this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts will be able to connect with you if they scroll down to the bottom and see your links below. So that will be included. I'll make sure I get those off you and include them when this is launched, which will probably be in the next 2 weeks. And again, I'm just like, so it's really, really good to get this out there and such an interesting topic and one I think that's really misunderstood. So I thank you so much and I hope you get better soon. Manifesting that for
you. Thank you very much. Manifesting, empowering everyone together. Yes, empowering myself and everyone today.
Yes. I love it. Thank you so much, Queen. I'll send you the podcast once it's put together so you'll have a copy as well.
Thank you so much. And apologies again for all of the naughtiness.
It's okay. We take it all. You take care. Yeah. We'll see you soon. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We'll speak soon.
Speak soon. Bye.
Bye.
See you.
Guys, that's it. That's a wrap. That's all we've got time for. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Real Talk with your gal pal. That's me, Laura Rogers. Please be sure to leave us a review, give us your feedback on what else you would like me to talk about. I always want to deliver content on things that excite you and that are going to benefit you in your health and fitness journey. So do give us a review. Before you forget, I know you're busy. I've got to run off and record another episode. Do check us out on the other social media platforms listed below as well, because you might just like what you see or hear there. So, you know, be sure to do that. I look forward to catching up with you in the next episode. And again, please leave us a review. Let us know your thoughts. It would mean the absolute world to me. Stay healthy. And I'll see you in the next one.